What if? That's going to be the kind of the theme of the next, I don't know, at least today's sermon and next week's sermon and maybe the following, I don't know, we'll see what happens. What if? We're going to ask some hypothetical questions. What if? Today's question is, what if you never existed? I'm not saying what if you died today. I'm saying what if you had never been. What if? And as I began to ponder that and contemplate that, I thought, well, I wonder what the internet has to say about it. Because, you know, if it's on the internet, it's got to be true, right? Not so fast. But I asked the question, guess what? There are a lot of people asking that same question. What if I never existed? Here's just a few answers to that question as far as what some people think. I'm so little and so insignificant that in this world that if I never existed, the world would be the same. If I never existed, my son would not be here without me. Other than that, I could pretty much disappear and not too many people would really notice. If I never existed, my girl puppy dog wouldn't be here because her dad wouldn't fall in love with his neighbor's dog girlfriend, and her human dad would be very sad. Well, let's see. Absolutely nothing. In fact, the world would be a lot better off. If I never existed, what would be the difference in the world? Number one, my parents would have had 6 children instead of 7. One less person in the population. Number two, I would not have been here to marry and have 7 children of my own. Thereby, again, there would be less another 7 in the world population. My children would not have existed, causing them to not marry and have children of their own, totaling all my grandchildren. There would be less 29 people in the world's population. My grandchildren would not have existed, causing them to not be here to marry and beget their children, which total 12, adding another 12 people to the population of this world. The difference, therefore, would be a grand total of 49 people less in the world's population. Also, the world will lose out on all the great assets I and my children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren contribute to the world. Each one of us have caused either happiness, acts of kindness, good deeds, and helped other fellow man, whether it be accomplishing their goals in life, acts of charity, succeeding in their business, composing music, and putting out beautiful CDs, raising their children and grandchildren as upstanding citizens. A little better. I've never really thought about it before, but it's an interesting concept. I suppose if I'd never been born, nobody would be able to miss me. But some people would be out a very good friend. And my little sister would be out a big sister. And I've been so good to her, dag nabbit. I'm just reading. And my husband would be out a fabulous young wife. This guy says, I wish I was never born. Not only do I wish I were never born, I'm angry about being born. I had no say in the matter. If I had been given the choice, I'd absolutely choose to have never been born. What a miserable, hopeless mess this life is. I've tried everything within my power to appreciate what little pleasure and enjoyment I can find in life, but the bad, so far, outweighs the good. It's impossible. I try to feel gratitude. I'm perfectly aware that there are many people who have it far worse than I do, and that I should count my blessings, but that doesn't make me any less miserable. I've felt this way for literally my entire life. But these feelings become stronger the older I get. I've tried therapy, medication, exercise. Nothing helps. Exercise has made me more attractive, and I'm in good physical health. But this is little comfort. I'm fully aware of how ignorant and selfish I am. I feel like my life is basically pointless. I have interests I pursue, working out, music, reading. None of them provide much in the way of lasting fulfillment. I'm not a religious or a spiritual person. Let me read that again, because I couldn't really tell. I'm not a religious or a spiritual person. I am turned off by the self-righteousness of religion. I have absolutely no desire to marry or have a family. I have a small handful of close friends who are wonderful, but no one understands me. I have never been in love and doubt it even exists. I despised school and thought of furthering furthering my education literally makes me sick. I carefully selected what I believe would be a somewhat fulfilling career path, only to grow up to hate my job as well. These are real people writing this stuff. Real people writing this stuff. And you know what? Those are real issues. People struggle with the question of, why am I here? What if I never existed? I want us to ponder that thought just for a moment. What if you never existed? What would the world be like? Like some of these people, there'd be no difference. Nobody would miss me. I mean, they wouldn't even know it. The world would be a better place if I were never here. I wonder what God has to say about that. You ever think about that? What does God have to say about you and your existence? I wonder if sometimes some people think, well, I'm here, God may be thinking, well, there he is, I might as well do something with it. But that's not what Scripture tells us. That's not what Scripture tells us. We have God, the creator of the universe, he created you for a very, very specific reason. And we must ask ourselves whether or not we're participating with God's plan in our life. We have a couple passages of Scripture I want you to be aware of, and they're in your bulletin. Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 11. In here, Paul is writing, he says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. Paul says, I know why I'm here. I know why I'm here. Because he chose me to be here. He created me to be here. Before I existed, he predestined me to be here. Why? Because he has a plan. According to his plan. Jeremiah 29:11, a very familiar verse. He writes, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Scripture tells me that God not only created me, he thought about it before he did it. Okay? Have you ever made something? You ever just wake up from a daze and go, oh, look what I made. I don't know how I did it, why I did it. No purpose to it. It's just there. Does that ever happen to anybody? No, you don't do that. When you decide to make something, you think about it. You go, you know, a batch of cookies. Why do you make cookies? Because you're going to show your house and it's for sale and you want it to smell pretty, right? No. Because, you know, the pastor's coming over and you want him to have some cookies. Cookies are made to be what? Eaten. And it's my mission to accomplish that goal for every cookie I can find. You make cookies for a purpose, so they can be eaten. You make a craft project. You make a little bracelet with rubber bands. Okay? You bake a something to hang around your neck. It's pretty. You make a flower, a corsage, you know, you put it together and you put it on your shirt so that it'll be pretty. It'll help you, you know, improve your looks or something. I don't know. It smells pretty. It gives people to look at. You do things for reasons. God made you for a reason. And he had that reason in mind before he ever even started on you. That's what the Scripture tells me. Plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. What kind of hope and what kind of future? Certainly, the ultimate hope and ultimate future is not limited to our time here on this earth. However, God does have you here for a reason. What is it? Is it just like the response I read? To multiply? Because I existed, now there are 49 more people in the world. While that's certainly biblical, right? God said what? Go forth, multiply, and populate the earth. Subdue it. Amen. Hunt, kill, eat. But there has to be something more. Did God make you just to populate the earth? No. There has to be something more. How would the world be different without you in it? Have you ever felt like some of those people? Some of those who say the world would be no different, or that maybe even the world would be better off? I want you to understand something. God made you, therefore you are significant. You're significant. Just because you may not understand why does not make you insignificant. Many of us struggle with, well, okay, God says I'm significant. I believe I'm significant. I just don't understand. I don't know why. Let me tell you something. You don't believe what you say you believe. You believe only what you act upon. Write that down. You don't believe what you say you believe. That's cheap. You don't believe what you say you believe. You only believe what you act upon. If I can say I believe that I could walk off the top of that cliff and I just keep on walking, and I could tell you that, and I could believe that as long as I just say that, it's not until I go and step off of there I find out what I believe, right? I may go thinking, yeah, I can do that. Whoa, no, I can't. I will find myself at the bottom of a deep ravine. You don't believe what you say you believe. You only believe that which you act upon. You can say, I believe God, that He says I'm significant. So I'll just sit around and wait for Him to show it to me. That's not acting. You got to act upon it. You got to take initiative. You've got to ask God, why? What is my purpose? Why am I here? It's not a secret. He doesn't say, I'm just going to make it a guessing game and you got to figure it out. Wrong answer. Call a friend. What's another lifeline, whatever they are. I don't even know what they are anymore. Lifeline. No. Here's the lifeline. God tells us why we're here. First and foremost is to know Him. To know Him. To know Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, some of you may be saying, well, I do. I know that. I know Jesus. I've accepted Him as my Lord and my Savior. Therefore, mission accomplished. Now, there's no more significance to my existence. And you know there's some Christians that do that? But that's not biblical either, because God says, once you know me, now your mission is to know me better and to tell others about me so that they may know me also. Go accomplish that one. Do y'all believe that that's our mission? Come on now, I'm asking you. Do y'all believe that that's our mission? You don't believe what you say you believe. You only believe what you act upon. Now you're going to step it on toes. God created you. Therefore, you are significant. So act like it. Do something. But don't just do anything. Participate in God's plan for you. And in effect, be part of the bigger picture that God is painting for this world. It includes you. Some people think that they are the picture. I'm the picture. It's all about me. God made me for me. And matter of fact, God made you for me and everybody else for me. So, God made you for everybody else. God made you for everybody else. I will tell you this. You and I will never know the full impact of our lives. We'll never know the full impact of our lives. But it matters. It matters. It matters. Your existence is important. Now that we understand that the Bible has established, I didn't say we established, the Bible has established that we are significant and that God does have a plan for us. Let me ask you this question now. Since I do exist, okay, remember we asked, what if I never existed? Well, if you never existed, raise your hand. Okay, I don't see any hands, so therefore, you do exist, right? Here's the question. Since I do exist, how is the world different? How is the world different just because I'm here in it? Some tough questions, isn't it? Making us think this morning. You do exist. You are here. Now what? Are you making a difference in the world around you? In your family, your workplace, your home, your friends, your recreational activities? Is there a difference between the things of this world and the things of eternity? Question. Is there a difference between the things of this world and the things of eternity? Okay. I want us to think about those things. And have any think about those things that have an eternal value. How are you affecting not just this world, how are you affecting eternity? Are you affecting eternity other than your own? Are you? Am I? Are we? Let me just add this, because if you're not a Christian, if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, having accepted Him as your Savior and as your Lord, received the forgiveness that only He can offer, and in return have given your whole life to Him, that's what a Christian is. If you've not done that, then you cannot understand what I'm talking about. Things of eternal value. You can't understand it. If that is you, if you're here today and that is you, I would love to discuss it with you and show you what the Bible says, what it has to say about how what you do with Jesus here in this time affects all of eternity. Now, to those of us who are Christians, and just for clarification, there's only two categories. Either you're a Christian or you're not. Either you're saved or you're not. There's no middle ground. I address those who are not Christians. Now, those that are Christians, listen to me. Let's just take a review real quick. What if you never existed? But you do exist. So now that I exist, what am I doing with this existence? It matters more than you realize. Let us begin to think more about the big picture, the things of an eternal value. Paul writes another passage. He says in Colossians 3, verse 1 through 4, he says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Talking to who? Christians. Since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. I'm looking forward to that day. Bible tells me, don't just think about the here and now. Some of these people, what if I never existed? Well, world would be better off. If I never existed, my big sister, my little sister wouldn't have a big sister to whatever. I don't remember what she said. And my husband wouldn't have a young, hot wife or something like that, I think. I did. And I snagged a good one. But listen, if we never existed, people get all wrapped up in that. What about this earth? What about here? What about time? What about me? What about my life? What about my... Listen, what about my miserable circumstances? If I never existed, I'd never had to have gone through all that. And there are people who have real, serious, life-changing issues. That's real stuff. And they think, well, if I was just never here, then I wouldn't have had to go through it. And the rate of suicide is just astounding, folks, because people just, they struggle with this issue. Why am I here? I'll just make it all go away. Their mind is not on things of eternity, not on things above, because they don't understand. If I take my life, that's not the end of it. It's only the beginning. It's only the beginning. So let me ask you this, Christians. Is your focus on the things of this world? Is it focused on my circumstances? Is it focused on my emotions? Is it focused on my feelings? Is it focused on my fishing trip? Is it focused on my boat? Is it focused on my health? Is it focused? Real stuff, right? Or am I thinking about things above? Is my mind set on things of eternal value? Is my mind set on God and what His purpose for me is? I don't care who you are. I mean, I care who you are. But regardless of who you are, God has a plan for you. If you're the youngest person in the room, the oldest person in the room, or anywhere in between, does that leave anybody out? Oldest person, youngest person, anybody in between? That covers us all, okay. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for you. And again, I'll say it again. Just because you may not understand it doesn't mean it's not there. Doesn't mean that you're an accident. Doesn't mean that God was like, oops, messed up on that one. No. Remember, God predestined you. He thought about you before you were ever even born, and He drew a plan up for your life. Our job is to follow that plan because it's a part, it's an integral part of the bigger picture. Think about the people you know and the people that know you. Most of the time, they're the same. The people that you know, are you enriching their life? Do they get any value from you being here? They should. God's Word tells us that they should. The world is a better place because you're here. Not just because you're here, but because God put you here. You are important. You are significant. And I tell you this about you and about me. You're also not your own. You were bought with a price. My Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, came from the heavens. Let me tell you something. When I go to heaven, and I'm going, when I get to heaven, I don't want to come back. My Lord and my Savior was in heaven. And He said, I need to go there. Because Michael Nix is going to be a sinner, and he's going to need me to fix that for him. Not only that, but He also knew your name. And He said, I'm going to go down into my creation and fix it. He stepped out of the glory of heaven to come and to be scourged and to be beaten and humiliated and spat upon and all that junk for you and for me. We were bought with a price. And what was the price? God gave His own Son for you. You know, I've used the example many times. There are some people in this world that I would give my life for in order to, if my wife was in danger and somebody could said, one of y'all got to go. Which one is it? I'm saying me. My kids, all three of them. Your life or theirs, which one is it? It's me. It's me. If it has to be one, it's me. It's easy to think about that, especially if you're a parent. Am I right? Okay, well listen here. Somebody comes up to you and said, it's either your life or the dude in, under the bridge on Highway 59. Which is it? That's what God did. God said, it's me. It's me. Jesus said, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. I will do that. Even for the dirty, even for the foul, even for the profane. He said, I'll do that. Because they can have no hope if I don't. Why are you here? What if I never existed? Doesn't even matter, really. Because you do. You do exist. God made you exist. He created you. He built you. And with that blueprint that He put you together with, in there is a plan for your life. I don't know exactly what your plan is. I mean, I know in part. I know the general plan of each of us. I told you that. First and foremost, to know Christ. To know our Creator. To know God. To know Him. To love Him. With what? How do we love Him? With all of our mind, soul, heart, strength. And then what? And love others. To love God and love others. That's our purpose. That's a general purpose. As far as the specifics on how you do that, that's where God makes it so cool, because He has a different plan to fulfill the greater plan in each and every person's life. My job, your job, is to find out what that is. And then do it. Act upon it. You don't believe what you say you believe. You only believe what you're willing to act upon. If you don't know Christ, let me tell you, not only do you not have any hope of seeing Jesus, of living eternity in heaven. We sang songs about this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Headed to glory land. Yeah. But let me tell you something. If you don't go through the door of Jesus Christ, which is the only door. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. Okay. He said that. I believe it. I don't believe what I say I believe. I believe what I acted upon. And I acted upon that when I was 8.5 years old. Have you acted upon that? Or are you just saying, yeah, I believe that? Have you? You don't believe what you say you believe. You only believe what you act upon. Have you taken action? Have you taken action? Because let me tell you something. Not only, if you don't know Christ, not only do you not have the hope of heaven, you have a very real assurance of hell. There are no bones. You can't beat around the bush with that. It's either heaven or hell. God has made the way. The choice is yours. What do you do with it? What do you do with it? How do you do that, Brother Michael? Let me tell you. It's real simple. Because, see, God didn't make this complicated. He did all the work. What you do is you just say, Lord God, I understand that when the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that means me. And I know I have, because I remember the things that I've done. And your Bible tells me that the wages of sin is death. But you follow that right up by saying, but the gift of God is eternal life, and I want the gift of eternal life. How do I do that? And you accept Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior. And I've said many times before, sometimes we want to break that apart. We really want to accept the Savior part, but sometimes we're slow to accept the Lord part. God says it's the same. It's all together. It's tied up in one big pretty bow. You don't take one without the other. You allow God to be Lord, the boss of your life. You follow His plan, His orders, His direction, and you receive the gift of eternal life, the forgiveness of sin. That is the gospel story. There's only one way. If you're here this morning and you've not taken action upon that, I can't impress upon you the importance of doing that. I'm not going to try to scare you into heaven. Or as I've heard one preacher say, I'm not trying to scare the hell out of you. Get it? You know, the destination, hell. I'm not using profanity up here. I'm making a point. But yet, I want to be real with you. I want to be real with you and tell you what my Bible tells me. Since you're here and you exist, what are you doing with that existence? It's a real question. We've seen that there are real people struggling with very real answers. But as a child of God, you have a hope. You have a hope and a future. Jeremiah says it. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Next week, we're going to begin to look at something a little bit different. All right, what if, hypothetical question, and I'm not going to tell you what it is yet because you have to come. If I tell you, then you'll do what I did. You'll Google it and look it up on the internet and you'll not even come next week. What if? What if? It's going to cause us to think a little bit. What if? Yeah, what if? But like I said a while ago, what if I never existed? Doesn't even matter because you do. So since you do, now what? Since I'm here, now what? Ask yourself that question, as I have all week long. We're going to sing a song. We call this the hymn of invitation. What it means is we're going to play some music. We're going to sing some songs. Everybody's going to stand up. Go ahead and stand up. This is a time that we provide here at the church for you to respond to what the Holy Spirit has told you today. And I know that He's spoken. Have you heard it? What are you going to do with it? You don't believe what you say you believe. You only believe on what you act upon. Is there something you need to act upon today? Maybe it's you need to come and get right before God. Maybe you're a child of God and you just need to come and say, I need to get back. I've been going off on my own plan. I've been making up plans as I go. And it's just not working out. I want to be on God's plan. Because He tells me it's a good plan. And there's a hope and a future in it. And I want that. I want to come back to that. If that's you, you come. I'll be here. My wife will be here with me. You can come and talk to us. Or one of us. Or neither of us. You can come and just kneel and talk straight to God. You don't have to go through me or through anybody else. You got a direct connection. Maybe you do want to come and you want prayer for you. We're here for that. Whatever your need is, we're here. If you're a visitor of ours and you think, you know what? I don't really like the preacher, but I like the music. I want to join this church. Whatever the reason is, this is the time you could do that too. Let me tell you something else. If you do not know Christ, don't you leave here until you know Him. Don't you leave here until you've had the Word open to you and shown to you how you can become a child of God. This is your time for you to respond. Remember, you don't believe what you say you believe. You only believe on what you act upon. As we sing.